Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March 22nd. In the year of our Lord, 2016, this is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We believe the checks and balances put in place by our founding fathers, absolutely brilliant, and the solution to the problems we face. We need a good, honest, moral people standing for liberty is what we need today more than ever. Leadership is absolutely critical. The tragic part, Americans aren't involved enough in their precious battle for liberty. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't need a revolution. We just don't need a revolution. Rarely do revolutions ever turn out well. What we need is a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Are you going to be part of the solutions? All right, Kirk Crosby, welcome to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam. It's a
Well, you know what, sir? You're calling actually on the wrong line. I don't know who you want to talk to or what you're trying to talk about, but you're calling on an office line, and I'm politely answering your phone call right in the middle of a nationally syndicated radio talk show.
Ooh, yeah, that's always good.
So it won't do any good to be on the radio if that's your goal, because you're on the wrong line. Is that your goal?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're not going to talk about your lure knocked off the radio while I'm on the radio. That won't work.
No.
How would that work?
Wouldn't work.
Yep. So here's what you do. If you want to talk on the radio, you can talk after my guest, and you can dial 866-986-NEWS, 866-986-6397. Mm-hmm. Does that sound good?
That's right. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. See, I did that on purpose, ladies and gentlemen. I literally answer the phone oftentimes while my guest or while Kurt is talking on the office line. I'm that accessible to people. And I did that to demonstrate that I'm available. To the best of my ability. All right? Just thought would tell you that. Yesterday's broadcast, a quick recap, Kurt. Our guest, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, was with us. Mr. Nelson, that's Lowell Nelson, our frequent guest. We're going to be getting him on the radio more because he has so much and we just don't cover it all. It's the sad part. But Mr. Nelson is also a member of the board of directors of the Utah Grassroots Organization. And they have for every year, for over two decades, Kurt, evaluated a basket of bills that have scored Utah legislators on those bills. It's amazing. Also, looking at the governor, the bills he's passed, and how constitutional they are relating to the budgets and all that kind of stuff. Tremendous stuff. So yesterday, Lowell broke down the just-ended Utah legislative session for us. Man, it's like the session of horrors if you... It's crazy when they're in session sometimes. The editorial that'll be accompanying this year's release of their analysis will contain a discussion of state sovereignty. We also then talked about Trump, Cruz, and Kasich. We're not big fans of any of the three candidates. Trump tells crowd to, quote, knock the crap out of protesters, offers to pay legal fees of those who do so. We reject this notion, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, they say they can't control him, you can't own him, you can't buy Trump. Maybe true, but I reject his violence, ladies and gentlemen. I reject violence on all sides. I don't care if you agree or disagree. You don't need to be violent about it. There's a way to peacefully deal with this in America. Trump has received $2 billion in free media coverage, Newsmax.com. Romney says he'll vote for Cruz in the Utah caucuses. Romney, I guess, has a house in Holiday, Utah, Kurt. I didn't realize that. And what's weird is Lindsey Graham even joked of murdering Trump on the Senate floor. Talk about violence, Kurt. What do you think of this?
It's inappropriate. Now, Mr. Lindsey Graham, I could think of a few ways to move him out of the Senate. You know, I personally don't appreciate his service. to the country.
Well, the violence, though, has got to stop, Kurt.
Yeah,
this is
I would never threaten anything like a murderous act or anything upon him. And yet, you know, as far as I know, he did that with Mr. Trump.
All right, there you have it. Without further ado, our guest, Mike Noel from the Utah Legislature. Welcome back, sir.
Good morning. How you doing, Sam?
Excellent, my friend. You want to chime in on this violence that we see everywhere? These people are crazy. They got to stop.
Terrible. I don't know where it's coming from. I personally support the Prince of Peace. I think it's wrong that sometimes people get a little heated. I understand that. All of us do. It's something you got to control. If you can't control your temper, you can't control your passions, someone once said. I think that was Spencer W. Kimball said that. And so you got to really be careful with that. I've got a little bit of that in me, a little bit of get pumped up.
Well, I'm never pumped up, so I don't understand what you guys are talking about at all. No, I get the vigorous debate. I get the discussion. That's the genius of America. But, ladies and gentlemen, this violent streak has got to stop.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, at a Trump rally, you got a man captured on video punching and kicking a protester at a Donald Trump rally. Now, I guess it's a weird deal because the white guy was wearing a KKK costume and the black guy was the one that was the Trump supporter, and the black guy got beat up, and everybody's supposed to be a racist, and I don't even get it. And I don't even understand what the heck they're all talking about. I just know this. We've got to learn to be self-governed. We've got to learn to give people somewhat of the benefit of the doubt. We've got to learn to find ways to build bridges, to work together, to find solutions. We've got to work on these principles that made America great, Mike.
You're absolutely right, and you know, I haven't been tuned into your radio station very much, but just the last two times that I've listened, and then what we went through yesterday, I've really come to admire your position on many, many of these things, because it's a little different than some of the traditional red meat type radio hosts, and so it's nice to hear somebody that has the philosophy that you have, Sam, and you're a very humble person, and I can see why people like to listen to you. I really can.
What Mike's referring to, ladies and gentlemen, is we had a meeting yesterday up at the state capitol for the state of Utah, and anybody was welcome. It was kind of a quick meeting, though, but yet it was quick not to Mike's fault. It's just that his bill's on the governor's desk. We're talking about HB 276, and in HB 276, the goal is to create the Department of Land Management in the state of Utah. And a lot of people were very critical about BLM versus DLM, and there's only one letter difference. And I get that. It's a great kind of analogy. The problem is, I do agree there's got to be some way to deal with the lands if they are, based on the equal footing clause, transferred back the way they should have been to the state of Utah in the first place. There's got to be a way to deal with those. And you know what? We can create a different name if we choose. Names aren't really that important. We can do a lot of things. This whole meeting was about that. And one of the things I really got to give Mike credit for, I was there. There was not a lot of people there, but it was a meeting. And you know what? Several people had opposition. I was one of them. Not opposition to the concept or to the bill or to Mike, because I think all those things are good. But just some concerns about what was happening there. And the opposition was, you know, across the landscape, if you will. Some were completely opposed. They just wanted nothing to do with it. Others were, you know, constructive criticizing, as I was. But yet, Mike, even when people tried to kind of shut down the opposition, there were some officials there that did that. I won't name names. There was a TV host there, a video host that was, they weren't very interested in the opposition, but you stuck up for the opposition quite well, in my opinion, sir.
Well, I wanted that, and that's why I invited you to it. And you're right. There wasn't a lot of notice, but it's put together quickly, and it's you know, it's a 6-hour drive to the Capitol for me, and a lot of those people took off. There were sheriffs there from all around the state, from southern Utah mainly, from my district, and rural county sheriffs, which I think are the ones most affected by this issue, because obviously in rural Utah, we're the ones that have the majority of the public lands in our backyard, and we've lived with this for years and years, and so I wanted them there to express their opinions on the bill, and I wanted to have a good forum and an opportunity to say what the bill does and what it doesn't do. Understanding, of course, like you said, Sam, some people just don't like this whole concept of of how we deal with this huge hole we've dug ourselves into over the last 100 years in Utah and the western United States. It's called the Bureau of Land Management and the United States Forest Service. We don't hear much about the Forest Service, but right now I feel like there's a major attack on ranchers and people that have permits and mining and everything else, well, logging specifically on the forest.
Even Ammon Bundy asked an incredible question, and I think it's worth exploring. I wouldn't go about it as Ammon did, however, but his question is valuable, and that is this: what are we to do? What is a people to do? Mike Noel to respond to that in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
As everyone knows who listens to this broadcast, Ammon's a personal friend of mine. I think he's a wonderful gentleman. I think he's made some incredible serious calculation errors, though. I really think that he meant well, but he just, in my opinion, went about it all wrong. Consequently, there's a dead man. Government's out of control, too. We agree with that. Consequently, there's many, many people in jail. I think it's tragic. Nevertheless, Ammon asked a very important question, Mike, that I think relates directly to your bill, directly to the circumstance we face. The fact is, we got 100 years of government encroachment, increasing abuse. And we all agree with that, and we need to stop it. Violence is not the answer. Violations of the laws are not the answer. What is a people to do is the question that Ammon Bundy asked, and I think it's a fair question. What is a people to do? when it seems like there's not a whole lot of redress of grievance, it seems like there's not a whole lot of justice before the law, even the folks who oppose what the government's doing, they don't get a chance to be heard. That's all true. The question is, what is the people to do? And I think Ammon asked the right question, went about it incorrectly, in my humble opinion, sir.
What I think is this, is that we fall back on the principles that made our country great, and that is the fact that all states are sovereign. You know that Utah is a unique state in the entire United States. We're unique in the way we were founded. We're unique in the way we manage our state. We're unique in the way the people of this state conduct their lives and what they do. It's unfortunate we don't get that engaged in the political process. I think we do elect good people. We elect good representatives, and they're held accountable. So there's going to be a lot of people come to this state. We hit 3 million this year. Not too short a time, there's going to be 6 million. And there's no question that we're going to need extra land. We're going to need additional places for people to live. My bill accounts for that. It's in small parcels. There's going to be areas where communities we can expand it. But we need to be able to use the resources that were given to us right here in this state. Timber, mining, oil and gas, even solar generation on the lands that are controlled now by the federal government. But certainly access and ability for you and people on the Wasatch Front to come out and get it to the mountains. The mountains were the first places that were recognized as temples. They're holy places. We want them to be able to do that. We want our children to get out on the land. So the only way we can do that, Sam, is to tear off the chains of the federal government that controls two-thirds of our state. And I see it getting worse and worse and worse since 1976. When FLTMA came into play, the Organic Act for the BLM, and of course the Forest Service has been there for a long time. I don't know why we haven't had as much problem, but it's getting even worse. We need to as a people, we need to become more self-sufficient within the borders of our own state. I'm not saying we lock, you know, the rest of the country out, but I'm saying welcome people here and allow us to use those resources in our state to have our people thrive, our children thrive. You've got 8 children. I have 22 grandchildren, 2 great-grandchildren, 1 on the way.
Well, congratulations on that, by the way, though. That's one of the that's the reason we do what we do, people.
That's right.
Now, I want to mention this, too, and people need to understand this. Utah has taken the fight by far to deal with this lands problem and the out-of-control bureaucrats problem. We've gone further in this. We're more organized. We have a better infrastructure set up. We've got more people aware than any other state in the union, bar none, huh?
Exactly right. And, you know, this fight started really with the closure of the roads that access our public lands. Thousands of roads closed down that were given to us under an 1866 law called Revised Statute 24-7, where the right to construct and build roads is hereby given by the Congress of the United States. Almost every single road in the state of Utah at some point in time was constructed and built by the county or by the state of Utah. Those roads are now being threatened. That's what started my whole political career right there, actually almost 20 years ago, when I said this is totally outside the law. I can remember the first event we had in Salt Lake City. We had 5,000 OHV people, farmers, ranchers, coming up Main Street at an event called Take Back Utah, supported by USA All and Access Group and ranchers and farmers and people of all backgrounds, and we went right to the Capitol, and we said, we've had enough, we're not taking it anymore. And that started this whole event to take back the lands, and of course, we've moved it forward. So there are people that support us. There's a lot. I've been elected 7 times, and that's been my whole effort to do that, and yet at this point, I'm getting attacked by people that were traditionally my friends, people on the, I believe, on the side of liberty. I'm very confused as to why that's happening. I think it's a misunderstanding. I think it's the approach they're using is wrong, and so that's why I'm coming on your program to hopefully let your listeners know that I am a friend. I'm a friend of liberty. I'm a friend of taking back these lands, and I appreciate the opportunity to voice that to you, Sam, without being cut off and interrupted, and my words, misstated from others. It's hard to get into media. It's hard to talk to your constituents. So I'm glad to have this opportunity.
Well, and one thing people need to understand, and you know, you say it's hard to talk to constituents. I'm sure that it is. And I think the problem is the mainstream press manipulates things. The problem is that people have many times good intentions, but somebody else gets angry about something. Now, I'll give you a little teeny example. Yesterday, this guy was taping a TV program at our event. A statement was made by, I think, a political official that basically said, you know what, hey, all these conspiracy theories, or what was the exact words he used, Kurt? You might help me remember.
Well, he said wacko or something. What did he say? He said wild-eyed.
Wild-eyed theories was the words.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And I basically took opposition to that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I understand that.
And I'm not saying that there's nobody out there that doesn't have a theory or wild-eyed theory, but what he did was lump everybody into, if you're part of the opposition to this in any way, for any reason, no matter how legitimate that reason, no matter how well articulated, no matter how kindly delivered, or no matter how solution-oriented, he basically made it sound like, you know what, you're just crazy. And this is the kind of stuff that just boils my blood, because I'm like, you know what? This is America. This is not China. This is the field of dreams, if you will. This is the field of ideas and vigorous discussion. And we need to really start to take that in mind, even if we disagree with somebody says, you know what, they have a right to say it. And if they can show that it's legitimate, you know what, give them that chance. I maintain that Agenda 21 is permeating through everything being done everywhere in our society, and people don't realize it. And it's a serious threat to our land and to our liberty. And I'm prepared to back that up and document that till the cows come home. This idea about this, you know, some allegations of theories. Okay, we're way beyond that, people.
By the way, Sam, you'd probably even do it after the cows got home. You know,
I would.
As far as I can tell.
That's exactly right. See, Kurt, understand. Yeah. But that's kind of where the debate is, that when you start to make isolating, all-inclusive, over-the-top statements, I think we lose ground fast, Mike, on any side.
I agree. You got to know something. The gentleman, he's a really close friend of mine. His name's Leland Pollock. I call him Lehman Porter Rockwell Pollock. He's a rancher. He's a business owner. He started his own business when he was 16 years old and bought a gas station. He's a hard-working son of a gun. A lot of this comes from just, you know, they've lived in rural Utah all their lives, and things have taken upon them. I mean, they've watched their jobs and their economy go down by environmental extremists. You know, the timber harvesting industry used to be a big thing in Panguitch. They watched all of our coal resources get locked up in the Grand Staircase, Escalante National Monument, not to say, and also strategic minerals like titanium, zirconium, things that we need. They watched the environmentalists try to shut down their roads. And now they're seeing one of the last things that we're holding on to, which is our grazing, right at a time when cattle prices are an all-time high, lamb prices are an all-time high. So I understand what he said. I want to tell you categorically, he was not talking about anything you said with Agenda 21.
And by the way, I'm convinced you're correct. However, those watching the TV program believe anybody who was there in opposition were part of what he was saying, because he didn't clarify, and neither did the host. And that's where these, in my opinion, these things get off track. Mike Noel with us, ladies and gentlemen. More in seconds. I want to talk more about the bill, what's going to happen, how you can participate, and more.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, I want to make a couple of other quick points about the meeting that we had yesterday with Mike Noel. There were several sheriffs there. There were several of us who were in opposition. And when I say several of us, I want to be very clear. I'm not in opposition to get the lands back. I'm not in opposition that there's got to be some mechanism set up to handle the transfer responsibly. I'm not against the idea that, you know what, there's 100 years of complications added to the mix via federal law, as unlawful as some of it may be, state law, of regulations, of all kinds of uses of the land and right-of-ways, etc., that relate to that land. I agree it's very difficult to ferret our way through all this stuff. I get all that. And that's why I do believe these discussions have complete merit, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not against this idea, and I'm not running around with a wild-eyed theory. Now, there were two people there that were in somewhat opposition, but in support of what I've just articulated. And when I say two people that spoke, there were really three, Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, and Scott Bradley. And I think that when you hear somebody like Scott Bradley speak and articulate himself, and somebody like myself, I think it's pretty hard to run around with this wild-eyed conspiracy stuff, with this theory idea. We're too educated to articulate for that, Mike.
Yeah, I don't think you have a wild-eyed theory, and I think you and both you and Scott did articulate a point that's out there, which is the point that what we should do with this land is when we take it back, is that we need to basically put it back to where it was at statehood, that we continue to sell these lands under whatever act before it was Homestead Act, and people could homestead a certain piece of property, and they would own that property and put it to beneficial use, and other acts, the Cary Grant grants and things. So that's a whole different question, and that's not my bill. I don't know that it's the bill of anybody in the legislature to move to that, but I'd like to hear what it is. I'm not saying it's something that we shouldn't pursue. I'm not going to support selling the lands off. I think we've gone too far on that. But give me your ideas. I'm not even.
Well, let's think about it this way. Let's just be honest with ourselves about land for a second. Okay, there is appropriate use of the land for various reasons by various people, and I'm not really here to debate how much should be private versus how much should be public versus this or that, because it gets so complicated, you divide people quickly. And pretty soon you're not even talking about getting the feds out of the land, you're just debating amongst folks. And so I sometimes find that it's better to take a bite and chew what we've got rather than just try to see how much steak we could put in our mouths at the same time. That would be my first response. My second response would be this. How much is it if your kid wants to buy a piece of ground to build a house? Because this is what matters to me. I've got 8 children. 3 of them are married. 3 of them would love to, right now they're all renting because they're college students and all that kind of stuff. But they would love to build and or buy a house. How much does it cost for a piece of ground to get that done in Utah today? It varies. It
varies. It's a lot less expensive down here than it is where you guys live. It's a lot less expensive.
But even, I was just talking to your son, even in Beaver, Utah, pretty rural place. For him, it's like $45,000 for a lot.
Yeah, that's okay. Probably true.
Where I live, it's more than that. If you want to get a good lot, it's going to probably cost you $75,000, $100,000. That's the ground, sir. That's not the house. Yeah. Now, let's say I build a modest house. A lot of times they have now covenants on the ground, which means you got to have a house of a certain size. You got to have a this. You got to have a that. You got to, the 10,000 commandments on that sucker. Pretty soon, you're at over $250,000 for a starter home for a couple. It's not doable.
Yeah.
Okay, and the reason that is because we, one, don't have enough land in private hands. What, 70% of the state's owned by the feds?
Yeah, well, about two-thirds, yeah, 66%
all right.
is about.
And so thing. Even if that's owned by the state, that doesn't help. When the people can only live on a third of the land available, no wonder the prices are sky high. To prove that, go to Missouri or go east of the Mississippi. Unless you get in the big urban centers, land is cheap. You can buy a lot for $5,000, put a nice manufactured home on it. You can be done for like $60,000-$70,000, and it's actually pretty nice. The same thing's true in Idaho, where there's a lot more land available.
There is a unique difference between the Midwest and here, though. It's called rain. They get about 25, 30 inches a year. We're lucky to get 12 in our area down here. So that's a big deal. And the water is one of the limiting factors. And I've worked on that, too. But I'll just tell you, I don't think it's so much that the fact that we don't have enough land. I think it's all the restrictions that are placed on being able to build a home, something that I've been against. I tried to stop some of the zoning, where they basically zone you out of being able to build a home. I mean, I own several thousand acres here, and I can only build like one home per 100 acres according to the zoning, or I get into what they call a subdivision, and I've got to put in paved roads and bring in utilities and all these things, and I've fought that for years. I mean, that's been a big deal here for me, is that, man, we're just zoning our kids out of being able to live, and I don't know if it's as much that there's not enough land. I think it's more of a zoning and planning commissions and that just basically plan everything for you. So I'm with you on that, Sam. I'm 100%. Go back and look at my record. I had a bill that took away the zoning from the state out of rural Utah. If you're a county of the 5th and 6th class, that goes away. And we don't live by the International Building Code. Oh, man, I got it passed one time through the Senate or through the House. And the Senate took it over there, and one of the senators took it on as a personal deal, killed it, and sent it back. And a lot of it is just that's the way things are, and people have a lot invested in this zoning code and how houses need to be built and who needs to be the ones to control it. So you've got a major battle there. I understand. I can only take on so many things, but as far as that goes, you don't see me supporting that. Absolutely not.
Well, and I think it's valid that we understand some of those things, and that's why a lot of these, people are getting frustrated about land use and who should own what land and homesteading and some of those things, and I think that we need to look forward with an eye to not just one way, like, hey, you know what, the state's getting back lands and none of it's going to be sold, or the opposite. We're going to sell every bit of it, and hey, man, everybody's got to come to the table with a plan to work together and say, you know what, it may not be my view, but it is a valuable view that we need to consider. And especially as we go forward, it's one piece at a time, people.
Yeah. Let me give you one other thing. You got to just think about this right now. You're a strong supporter of the ranchers right now that, Lavoie Finicum and Ammon Bundy, they've been taken into Lavoie's dead, and Ammon, these guys have been taken into jail by the federal government, which I'm opposed to. I think what they did was very minimal, and I didn't agree with how they did it, but they shouldn't be ended up in jail for the rest of their lives or whatever it's going to be. But let's just say, hey, we're going to put this open land in Utah at when this bill passes and go back to some type of an ability for people to buy this land, I would venture to say if that was in my bill, I would not have one ranching organization, I would not have Farm Bureau or anybody on my side. Why? Because they consider that they own the rights to those allotments, and every single piece of ground in rural Utah is about almost, I'd say 90% of it is under somebody's allotment. So how do you deal with that? Someone wants to come in and graze cattle, and they're grazing cattle, and someone wants to build a house. That's even one of the problems we've got right now. If you build a house out there in our county, it's your responsibility to fence out the cows. Well, there's people that say, well, that just benefits the rancher. He needs to fence his cows away from my property. So if someone builds a house, you put an expense on the rancher to go in and fence his cows out from your area. Pretty soon it gets to the point where it's not worth it for him to run cows. So,
and that's the whole reason I say that what we need is more and more education, more and more dialogue, because I think a lot of people from their own sides don't really even understand the other side. It's not that they hate or they mean to be hostile, but they don't really understand the complications and the issues. And the more education we can do, the more discussions we can have, politely working together and having respect for our neighbors, if you will, is the answer to a lot of the problems we have here. And then a little bit of humility. You know, a big old glass of humility ought to help, right?
Yeah, that's great. Add on top of the grazing, and we've got the mineral estate underneath it that's owned by a myriad of people's oil and gas companies. And they really are the dominant estate. You could have, this is one of the problems we have in ranching communities. And they own and even on private property. Right now in Utah, the mineral estate is the dominant estate. They can come in and they can put a drill rig right in the middle of your pasture, and there's nothing stopping them. I mean, it's the way it is. They have rights of ways. They have access. They can drill for oil and gas. There's a lot. I mean, there's just a myriad of rights that are out there that have been built up on these lands, like I say, over 100 years. And you've said it several times. I'm glad you're bringing it out, Sam. To unravel that, you've got to have some process, some orderly process to respect the rights that have been out there, to figure out a way to do it. And that's what HB 276 is about, to say, you know what, let's throw this out here. There's going to be some type of a mechanism, whether it's the DLM or the land office or whatever you want to call it. I don't care what it is, but you got to recognize the rights.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, HB 276 is the name of the bill. It's already passed the House. It's already passed the Senate in the state of Utah, and it's sitting on the governor's desk. Mike Noel, the author of the bill, on your radio. I want to know what the plans are for the bill going forward. What's going to happen? What are we going to do to make the next step happen, huh? We'll talk about it in seconds.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-getters to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Mike Noel, our guest, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about his bill, HB 276. It's passed the House. It's passed the Senate. It's waiting on the governor's desk. The lieutenant governor I'm meeting yesterday basically said, you know what, he's very favorable to this bill. In other words, he's basically going to sign it. He didn't say that. I can't take him as a fact, but he hinted that, you know what, it's going to be signed. I think that will be the case. The question, Mike Noel, author of the bill, Utah State Legislator in the House for Utah, what's the future then? I mean, is it signed? Then, you know, a lot of people just think, oh man, done deal, might as well give up now. See, I disagree with that view.
Absolutely crazy. That's the point of this whole thing, is that you're bringing up points, and we're having a discussion here, and we're going through it because of the fact that the bill's out there. And what I said yesterday on, you know, on the county seats program that'll be on, you know, this weekend, I said that this is a work in progress. I said it all throughout my committee meetings. This is a placeholder. This is a bill to ferret out and to bring these issues out. Unfortunately, it's got into this battle, and, you know, even people that are way, way opposite of us have taken over the public lands. A guy by the name of Chris Zinda down in Cedar City, whose wife is the district manager for the BLM. And, you know, he writes a big article yesterday. He says, over a meaningless bill, it appears that the anti-public land theo-constitutional activists are eating themselves over the definition of home rule in Utah as the fundamentalists have begun to impose a purity test. So they see it. They call it a meaningless bill. But you know why? Because they don't think it's ever going to transfer, and they know that it doesn't affect. So we're ferreting out these people. We're bringing it to head, Sam. I'm glad we can do it. It doesn't help when people ascribe motions or things to me that have never been part of my background. That I'm an ex. That's the first thing that one of the talks about. Well, you're an ex BLM employee, aren't you? I goes, yeah. It was 20 years ago when I quit and resigned and sued my county commissioners to keep the roads open. I've got a pretty good history here. Well, I think you are conflicted. I think you've got a conflict of interest. You shouldn't even be able to write this bill. So when those kind of things come out and you can't respond to them, and all kinds of theories that I'm some kind of a wolf in sheep's clothing and a bait and switch, it doesn't add to the dialogue. It's very, very hurtful to me and to those that have supported me over the years. I've had to really go to bat to answer these questions, even friends that I thought were really good friends. So what are you trying to do? You're taking away the rights of the sheriff. I hope that was pretty well dispelled yesterday with what we said in that meeting, and that it does not do that. In fact, I read the one statement from Reed Richards. He's the legal advisor, been for the Sheriff's Association for years, former Assistant Attorney General of the state of Utah, tracked this bill, and he said, it appears to me that you're not taking anything away. In fact, you're increasing the rights of the sheriff. That's actually true, because this bill, for the first time, says specifically that they have complete control over all the public lands and over the entire county, basically, not just the public lands, subject to jurisdiction. That's another issue. I know it wasn't the biggest concern of you and Scott Bradley. Scott said it was less than, you know, like 10%. It's a small part of the bill, and I think that was dispelled yesterday as a total fabric.
Yeah, I personally think, you know what, I don't think it destroys the sheriff. I think it relies on Title 23 too much. I think a lot of times when we take federal guidelines and we mirror them, we inherently adopt the problems that they brought to the table in the first place. I think there's a better way to go about it, maybe. But I don't think that you're running around trying to destroy the office of the sheriff by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah. Yeah, but with the office of the sheriff, and again, I agree with that. I said that on your program with Jim Tracy, who was there in the meeting, and he spelled out where their authority comes from. It comes from the Utah State Legislature. He's the one that we talked about making him a constitutional officer. That has its own sets of problems that comes with it because of the jurisdictional issues. But Title 23 is already there, and the limited amount of the primary, when we say primary, that deals with a specific, very limited part of the code which deals with these resources. It may be grazing. It may be something to do with minerals. But I see it as a limited amount, full control of the legislature to fund that. And as we said, this bill's not going to be, it's a placeholder. It's not going to take effect unless we get a title from the federal government under the Transfer of Public Lands Act. And I said yesterday, I think it may happen this way. I hope if we ever get a good, honest, workable House and Senate and President, I would see a congressional fix and a legal fix much better. Because, again, Sam, you want these lands to be able available for your kids and my grandchildren to be able to use. I understand that. But that has to happen in some type of an orderly fashion. Today, if we open up those lands as we had under the Homestead Act, how would that work? According to the law, 95% of the revenues would go to the federal government, 5% would go to the school children. So the remedy itself creates huge, perplexing problems for those that have what I would call not inholdings, but have permitted rights that have been permitted and used over 100 years, the ranchers, the miners, access, those things. That is the conundrum we put ourselves into, and you've said it many times. How do we unwind that? How do we do it? This is my proposal. If others have better ideas, I'm welcome to hear them. This bill doesn't take effect until the land transfers. It's a great discussion to have, and I appreciate you getting me on the show to state my side of it instead of attacking and putting false motives to me for doing this bill. I really appreciate that.
And hopefully in that process, we can put a bug in Mike's ear and work on a couple of these things, too. I think that he's open to that. Any of us who do not take advantage of that, in my opinion, fail the genius of America. That's just my personal view. Kurt, you want to kind of chime in on how we got here, and it might provide a solution of how we get out of it, too. Go ahead, sir.
You know, so many times, Mike, you know, you'll have people that wonder, well, what was this like before? And when you go back, for example, to when the Mormon pioneers showed up here and stuff, there was no land office. Nobody had it staked out on whose ground it was or whatever. And when we go back, Ammon Bundy gave a good speech about this at the Nevada State Capitol when we were there in support of I think it was AB 408 there, where Nevada has an ongoing 85-year temporary agreement, I think they called it, with the federal government. And I'm not sure it was 85 years, it was at least that, but it was over 85% of Nevada that basically is held by the federal government. And he pointed out that in Scripture it even talks about how, you know, God gives the land to the people, and the people are to basically take care of it and do something good with it. And so much could be done in the same fashion with ours. It's all about trying to figure out, hey, how exactly do we go to this? So much of America is the same way. We've allowed these entities that want to shut down and control areas and kind of turn them back to the old, I guess you could say, to the former ways that before anybody even showed up here. And it's just not the way God intended it. But, of course, God really is not, people don't want to bring that up. Many of these, what I'd call wild-eyed radicals, don't want to bring that up. And I know that's an inflammatory term, but it's interesting to me to hear the same people that want to tell me that we have to have babies killed. They would think that I'm a wild-eyed radical because I want to use the ground that God has given us.
I just want all my babies to be able to have a piece of ground, you know?
Yeah. There's nothing like being a steward of the land and being able to own land. I mean, you said it. My religion says that private property rights are inviolate, and we need to recognize that, and it is right. I mean, even in the LDS Church, we had the Orderville up here, where they practice the United Order. I mean, that's an interesting concept, and people will really, really look at that and say, "Wow, that's some type of a control system." But and it didn't work here because somebody got a new pair of pants, and somebody got mad that he had an extra pair of pants. So we're going to have to learn to be a little bit more caring about our fellow man and our fellow brothers and sisters, and be stewards of the land. I'm just telling you guys, I don't have all the answers. I'm trying to make progress here. It's not my objective to take any rights away, to let the federal government or anybody else take control of that. But I do have faith in our state leaders and the fact that the people are closer to them in this area, both in the counties, the cities, and the state. We do have a legislature that gives powers to the municipalities, but basically all of that derives from the legislature. So we've got to have some faith in that and in the system we put together, and we believe in being accountable to government. I think it's the one that is closest to it is the one we got to be accountable to.
So amen to that. Ladies and gentlemen, how many elected officials would say publicly, "I don't have all the answers, I want your input"? If that doesn't tell the story about Mike Noel and who he is, what his position is, where he stands, what he wants to accomplish, I don't know what does, sir. You got 10 seconds, Mike. You want to respond?
Again, I just thank both of you guys. It's a blessing in my life that you came just in the last week. Cameron told me about you, and everything you said, Sam, is absolutely right on. I think you're very fair and honest. I think what you're doing is good. What you're trying to do is good, to bring people together, not talk past each other, not cast aspersions toward people. I don't think it works. It's not about who's the most popular. It's what we can do. And it's not about who gets the credit.
We're out of time. Godspeed, sir. We'll look forward to working on it together. Thank you, Mike. Mike Noel, ladies and gentlemen.